Good song and true words, amen? Amen. This month is a month of fasting. And I want to explain something to you about fasting. It's not what many of us think it is. It's one of the most powerful tools God has given the believer. Let me just give you a little bit of background where I am on this and then bring it into your personal life. When I began to study to teach on fasting, which I've done in years past, to teach on fasting, I realized I was fasting for things in my life and things for this church, for short-term change. But God spoke to me very strongly and said this, no, don't do this anymore. I want you to stop a fast of just fasting for specific items and understand what a fast is and how that through a fast, when you fast before me, that I want it to change your life, not the circumstances. Listen closely. I want not for the short term, but for service. To be used, to be changed in the life of others, and to be of service to me. And I begin to realize where the church is and where the church has been historically, and we are no different. That we have prayed for revival. How many's asked for revival before? Amen. And we have revival. Revival will come for a day or a week or a month or maybe for a longer period of time. And then revival seems to go away. And then we have a little time of just kind of apathetic time. And then we get hungry again. And we want the Word of God and we ask for revival again. And this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. Because the time is so short, we don't have time for interludes of spiritual activity with God. God is calling for a sustained fast in our life. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the fast by definition that we don't eat food. Because this isn't about food. This is about service in the kingdom of God. But what God is saying this is I'm done with this revival stuff. See, here's how revivals worked in the past. It's been revival and it's been resuscitation. And then revival, then in resuscitation. It's the spiritual form of CPR. After a while, we get cold and we get tired or we get slack in what we're doing again. And then God says, okay, let's pump some life back into this body. Now, am I the only one that's ever had that happen to here? If I am, say amen. Not a word. How about you all? Has that happened to you before? But how would you like to live in a sustained victory in your life as a child of God? If you would say amen to that this morning. This is how you're going to do it. These are steps to sustain power and sustain victory and sustain service to Jesus Christ in your life in the last few days, months, and possibly years before the coming of Jesus Christ. I cannot be more specific to you than I have by saying this, that 2010 is unlike any other year that we have ever lived through. There are going to be more world changes that America is drug in to in 2002, making this a global family and a global unit instead of individual countries and governments than ever before. And America is running headlong into joining with the nations of the world to make a global community with one economic system that will set up a kingdom for one who is the false prophet, the beast, and the antichrist that comes just before the glorious day of Jesus Christ. Now let me explain something to you and listen to me closely. Before you listen to the fear mongers that are trying to scare the fire out of you and trying to reduce you down to just a trembling bunch of survivalists that get your survival food and go get in a cave someplace and hide till Jesus comes, that's not how it works. You see, when the children of Israel were taken, if you go back to the Exodus of Israel, it's one of the greatest foreshadowings of the coming of Jesus Christ that exists. During the time of all of the plagues that came on Israel for Pharaoh's disobedience and unwillingness to release his people and let them go, the nation of Israel was assigned by the hand of Joseph and his father. When Jacob came with all the family of Joseph, they were assigned an area by the name of area of Egypt, which is a lush area for shepherds to bring their sheep in, called Goshen. And Goshen is where Israel grew into such a great point that it became a threat. Now listen to that word. You're going to hear a little bit later in this message. It became a threat to Egypt. And so because of the threat, there was the persecution. And when the persecution came, the funniest thing happened. Of the 12 plagues, the first two came over the entire land. And then the first two came over the land, and the last eight didn't even touch Goshen. There was like a wall around that protected area where God's people were. Now, I want to explain something to you. I'm not saying you're not going to have persecution as a child of God, but you've got protection with the persecution. With every ability that the enemy will come against you, God is going to give you who are dedicated. I'm talking about not dedicated by a normal traditional definition of dedication. I'm talking about after this message this morning that I preach to you what dedication means, that you found that place of dedication in your life and surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, you're going to find a supernatural covering that covers you not only physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and financially on your life that's going to make you stand out to the world for this reason. It's not a look, we're okay and you're hurt. It's this: you're going to be a witness as to the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, because you are covered under the protective custody of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's going to be different in your life when you say, I have determined to follow Christ with everything I do. It's going to take you, the ones that are going to be willing to say, Pastor, I get this. You see, some of you this morning, this word's going to connect with. Some of you this morning, this word's going to grab. Some of you are going to say, I see what you're saying and I understand and I want this in my life. It's going to take a burden that God places on you. But those burdens come through a desire to have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you say, I want more of Jesus in my life, He will accommodate that desire. Amen? He will bring you exactly what you need and more to give you power in your life. Let me just go back a little bit in the history of the church, and even before the New Testament times, even back to the time of Nehemiah, where this cupbearer for the king Xerxes was there, and he was the cupbearer that was taken in the captivity of Israel. And there he made sure that everything that the king tasted was not poison. So he ate it first. He was the canary that died if something was wrong, if there was an assassination attempt through poisoning on the king. So he drank the wine. He ate the food first. He tasted it. If it was okay, then it was given to the king to eat. He was a cupbearer. That was his job. And so his name was Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was there, and he was a trusted advisor for this king. One day he came in and his countenance wasn't like it should be. He was burdened. This burden was on him, and the king saw this burden. And he said, Nehemiah, something's different about you. What is it? Are you sad in heart or what? He goes, I'll tell you what it is, king. I went to my home city. I went to the place before the exile of Israel. I went to Jerusalem where my father is buried. And when I got there, I saw the walls of Jerusalem were torn down and all the beautiful gates, the horse gate, the sheep gate, the fish gate, the water gate, all these gates were torn down. And there it was in destruction and despair. And I began to get a burden to rebuild the walls. Listen to me. That's what this church needs this year. And that's what, as a pastor, I'm praying this year, that we are wall builders in the year 2010. Not walls to keep people out, but building back what was torn down over the period of time through the attack of the enemy, through apathy, for a lack of desire, through sin, in through the things that destroys the walls of God in the life of the believer. He wants your walls to be built back again with strength. If you believe it, say amen. And then Nehemiah said this in chapter 1, verse 4. He said this, that when I heard about these things, he'd heard the condition of Jerusalem. He said, I sat down and wept. And for some days I mourned. And listen to this. I decided to do something more than just mourn about it. After several days, I thought, God, it's not going to do any good just to mourn and to be sorry over the things of the past. I'm going to fast and pray before the God of heaven. Listen to me. This is the first step. Everybody take your pointer out and stick it up here right now. If you don't know what that is, you'll find out. Everybody's got a pointer on them. All right, get your pointer up there and say, this is the first step. Say it louder. This is the first step. This is the first step that you have to take to come into a power source with God that's a sustaining life and not just a 2 or 3 or 30 day or whatever the period of time you choose to fast. But this is the first step to change your life and give you the power that you need to come against the enemy, not only against the enemy, but to be an aggressive force, an offensive force to destroy the enemy and give freedom to you and people around you. Nehemiah said this, I fasted and I prayed for many days. He said this, I set the groundwork. Now let me explain something to you about fasting, and I want you to be all ears right now. This is how the Holy Spirit gave it to me as I wrote it down for you, and listen closely. It's so sacred. Talking about fasting. And the title of this message this morning is The Sacred Weapon. Not secret weapon. The sacred. S-A-C-R-E-D. The sacred weapon. How many would like to have a sacred weapon in your arsenal? One of power. Would you like power in your life? Would you like sustainability in your life? How many of you like to not do this, but just do this the rest of your spiritual life? Let me see your hands if you would. Then this is how you're going to do it. We're going to start. We started it the second day of January, but I'm sustaining it through this month, and it's going to carry you through the year, not only 2010, but I'm telling you, if you'll put what I preach to you in action today, you will be on a plane for the rest of your entire journey on this earth, and you'll stand before the living God with significance, not empty-handed. Here's what you need to understand. It's so sacred, talking about fasting. It's so sacred, intense, powerful, and situation-changing that Satan knows the believer who finds and uses this sacred weapon threatens every evil advanced plan by the council of hell. Fasting is the sacrifice that prioritizes, realigns, and states by its actions your desire to place God on his throne, to receive answers, breakthroughs, and higher spiritual ground in your life than you've ever been before. The first step is fasting before God. Fasting is not something you're doing to deprive yourself from food. It's something you're doing to say to the Almighty God that I'm placing you above everything on my life until I receive your glory in my life, till I receive your strength in my life, until I am changed. Now, this man who was a cupbearer, all of a sudden, because of fasting and prayer, stands in front of the king. And even though in his humanity, he knows that if that king doesn't put the scepter toward him, he's a dead dog right there. But he says it with strength that came through the prayer and came through the fasting. He said, I'm asking you to do something. King says, what is it? Can you believe this? Send me back to my home. Give me a letter that gives me favor. Give me a letter that gives me credit. Give me the authority to go back and rebuild the broken down walls and make the city of Jerusalem right again and get the temple back where the temple should be, doing what the temple should be. My friends, these are nothing more than foreshadowings of how you should be looking at your walk with Jesus Christ. There's areas in your life that walls are broken and gates have been burnt, and you need to build them back up and make that mighty fortress of God once again even greater than it was in the very beginning. Amen? This is for those that catch this word this morning, that are hungry for His word. Why fast? Because Satan will always, listen to this, Satan will always attempt to destroy any work of God or spiritual growth in your life that has value or potential to the kingdom of God. As a child of God, when Satan tries to stop your work for God, it is because your commitment has become a threat to the power structure of Satan. Fasting is your first line of defense and strategy source for victory in your life. This is where Nehemiah started. He started by fasting. Then God, through the anointing that came on his life, this what was once a cupbearer became the head construction director of walls that need to be rebuilt. You see, if you read the book of Ezra, there was in the beginning Ezra 1 and Ezra 2. Ezra 2 is now the book of Nehemiah, where it was divided. But Ezra said, I'm going to work on the temple. And Nehemiah said, I'm going to build the walls. You see, God has a work for everyone in the kingdom of God. But God will change you from what you once thought you were to something you didn't know you could be. The Bible says the most miraculous thing happened, that even with the opposition of Sanballat and all of those who had false motives, that really didn't want to see a move of God, that really just was happy seeing Israel like they were, broken down and nothing built up, Sanballat and Tobiah comes against them and tries to destroy them, but it's minimal. Listen to me. Once you start anything in your life, and if you live your life in a degree of fasting, and you say, Father God, I'm fasting not by definition of doing without food, but I'm fasting in the fact that for the rest of my life, I have chosen to refrain anything in my life that would cause sin to enter my life. My friends, it's time to start fasting sin.
Yes.
It's time to start fasting self. It's time to start fasting what I want and what I need and look to the Almighty God and saying, Lord, I'm emptying myself to you, asking for a new anointing, a new fresh vision, a new fresh way, a new fresh power that will only come when I say it's not me anymore, it's you in everything I do. My friends, when you do this, God will accompany you. Every time he will accompany you in this. One of the devil's greatest fears and concern is a child of God who knows the curse-breaking power of fasting. I want you to listen to this very closely, because at this service today, the fast that we have been in now for 9 and 7 days is the week of fast is going to show power in this service this morning. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Already in many of your lives, I've been getting testimonies that immediately there was a response from God when you begin to fast. Immediately there was a change. There's a change, and you say, well, what was it? Did I get a new car? Did I get a new home? No, I'm talking about the change that's sustainable and the change that's significant here inside me. I'm telling you that the change that I'm looking for in this fast is an internal overhaul that doesn't have to be resuscitated every 30 days, but one that goes on the power of the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes. Now, the devil knows. One of the devil's greatest fears is that a child of God who knows the curse-breaking power of fasting, he knows that if you learn this principle, and put it to practice. His power to neutralize your effectiveness and your joy as a child of God is threatened. Satan all too well knows the power of fasting. He encountered it when he met this one that he said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself off of the pinnacle of the temple. If you're the child of God, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. And after 40 days of fasting, listen to me, there wasn't a weak, emaciated, I can't hardly lift my head. Oh, God knows what I'm doing. I'm just so good because I've fasted and the Father knows it. And I'm so humble, I can hardly stand it. And it's just awful. Oh, look what I've done for God. That wasn't the Jesus that was out there. The Word of God says that when he came out of the wilderness after fasting 40 days, he came out in power. Yeah. He didn't come out broken because the fast gave him the power over the influence of Satan himself when he came to him and tried to get him to be less than who he was. Listen to me. Satan will always try to make you less than who you are in the kingdom of God. He's a liar. And the power of fasting can break that and change that and cause you to live in a life of power for the rest of your life. When you fast, present yourself to the Lord as an act of worship. Now listen, this is a very important. I've got about three things that you need to understand about fasting that's not like you think. And I've been so guilty of this. When I first started fasting, the first time I ever tried to fast, I was a miserable failure. And all I could do was see pictures of cheeseburgers in my head. And all I could do was think about food. I tell you why. It was because my focus was so self-centered, I couldn't get off of me to get to God. But I'm going to tell you now, in my later days of life and serving Jesus Christ, food is the last thing that I think about giving up. It's that worship that I'm saying to God, I walk into your presence fasting before you. Do you know the difference that makes? Do you know the difference it makes to God when you walk in and you go, hey God, it's an hour and 13 minutes till I have a cheeseburger, right? Did I do good? Did I serve you all right? Now you've got to give me what you said because I'm following this to a T. I'm not eating for 24 hours, and every 24 hours I'm going to eat one meal and then that's it. But God, when I do, it's going to be a humdinger. Can I cheat God? Can I do it 5 minutes early? That's not fasting. That's just depriving yourself of something you don't need anyway. That's all that is. Fasting is when you stop eating, when you stop doing things, when you lay your life down before God and you say, Father, I've come to worship you. And one of the ways I'm going to worship you is to deprive self from what it needs. I'm going to deprive me from what I want. I'm going to stand before you, and the last thing on my mind is food. The major thing is, God, I want more of you. I want you to fill the vacuum. I want you to fill the void. I want you to fill the hunger. I want you, God, to energize me with power and with strength. My friends, listen to me. I have had one meal a day for the last 7 days, and I'm not anything but stronger in God than I've ever been in my life. You'll never sacrifice to God and not have an immediate response from the Father. When you fast, Jesus in red letter print in Matthew chapter 6 says this. There are three things that you need to understand. This year in 2010, let's get it right. Everybody get your pointer out just a second. Please, just humor me, will you? Stick it up there just a second. And point it right here and saying, in 2010, I'm going to do my best to get it right. Listen to this. This is not about me. This isn't about, well, this is going to take care of our. This is about you. When I preach, believe it or not, I'm not preaching for you to bless me. I'm preaching for you to be stronger in the kingdom of God and to be a victorious child of God. I can tell you from my heart, when I tell you these things, it's about your benefit, not mine. Three things Jesus said in red letter print that was powerful. He said, when you give, when you pray, And when you fast in Matthew chapter 6, three things. These are not if you, it's when you. My friends, listen to me. I want you to get in a relationship with Jesus Christ that your spirit man, not the flesh man, the spirit man says, Father God, this year I am going to exceed any giving I've ever given in the past. I'm talking about greenbacks. I'm talking about dollars. I'm talking about putting it out there on the line, doing more. Jesus, I'm going to give more than I've ever given this year. Number two, well, I don't have it, Pastor. Well, try to give some and see what happens. It's going to be replenished to you with blessing. The Word of God promises it. Well, I'm going to give more time to you, Jesus, not just to the church. I expect you to be at church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. That's a reasonable sacrifice for someone that's coming after me without warning to take me into an eternity that I can't imagine. What little bit would it be for me three times a week to be in the presence of the one who redeemed me? It's just a reasonable act of worship, but it's not just that. It's when you fast, when you pray, when you give your time, when you give your money, when you give your time, say, I'm going to take time every day, Lord, in your presence. If it's night when everybody else is in bed, that's when I work better. I find myself alone on my face before God when all the house is quiet and the house is dark. I can just by myself worship him and say, Lord, I praise you and I fast in worship and praise before you. It may be in the early morning for you. It may be at noon. It doesn't matter when, but say this year I'm going to give it right. I'm going to give my finances. I'm going to give myself. I'm going to have a relationship with God like never before. Watch what the power of fasting will do. It's sacrifice, and God started this whole thing out of your redemption through the very gift of sacrifice, his son. He bankrupt heaven for you, and sacrifice is meaningful to the Father. If you believe that, say amen. Here's what you have to do. He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, Jesus is speaking, and he says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. These were the actors of the day that put on faces, and they were in the theater, and they would walk around in the city with these plaster heads that were exaggerated of Caesar and different ones in the theater, and people would see them. It was hypo. It was overacting, overcreating the actor they were portraying, and they called them hypocrites. And so they were overacting. He said, don't do that. Don't walk around like this when you're fasting this month and walk into a restaurant and they say, would you like to eat? Listen, I like to eat with people when I'm not eating. Food doesn't bother me. I look at it and I think, that looks good, but it doesn't control me. My heart is controlled by Jesus Christ. I'm in love with you, God. I'm so happy that I'm sacrificing food to you. I can't praise you enough. His response is immediately. It's immediate. He said, don't go around like this. Sit down in a restaurant. Somebody says, what are you going to have? I'm just going to have some iced tea. What's wrong? Are you sick? No, I'm just going to have some iced tea. What's wrong? I'm fasting. Oh, you're not supposed to tell people. That's not true. Who told you that? You're supposed to go around like this. You guess. You guess what's wrong. Is that a hamburger? Okay. Oh, I'll be fine. Oh, no, I wouldn't eat that if you gave it to me. You guess what's wrong. Jesus said, why would you do that? Then it's just about you. Why don't you make it an act of worship? Why don't you make it an act of worship? He said, don't go around somber with your head down low and acting like this, like the hypocrites do, disfigured their faces to show men that they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Listen to me. Let me tell you what fasting will do for you. Fasting will cause you never ever to have the credit. As long as you live, it'll all go to glory, and it'll be in a bank account for you in heaven, and God will reward you when you get there. Don't go around that way. Don't act like that. He said they get their reward right there. What people do, oh my goodness, a godly man, a godly woman, they fast. I tried it once, and you hear all the fast stories and everything. Don't let anyone know it when you're fasting that way. That's what he said. But when you fast, verse 17, chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. When you fast, put oil on your head. Stick some Brill cream up there, boys, and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Here's how you go out fasting. I am fasting. I'm having the best time of my life. I'm praising God in it. I've felt His Spirit today like I haven't felt before. He said to me today the same thing He said to His disciples in John chapter 4 when this woman walked up and needed something. Let me tell you what fasting will do in your life. It will have you ready when the need is present. Did you hear me? It'll have you ready when the need is present. The rest of the boys went into McDonald's. He stayed by Jacob's well. And there was a woman that walked up to him. And she was drawing water. And he said to her, give me a drink. And she said, this don't make sense. Number one, you're a rabbi. Number two, I'm a Samaritan. Number three, I'm a woman. This shouldn't be. And he said, if you knew who I was, you would take a drink of living water. You'll never thirst again. He leads her to salvation through himself. She becomes a witness. The boys all come back with their bellies full of hamburgers saying, here, we brought you one. And he said, you don't understand something. I fasted this meal. Did you hear me? I fasted this meal and I had food that you know not of. When you supersede your desires for the desire of God, he will give you, he will sustain you and give you blessings that the world doesn't even understand. They won't understand, but there's more substance in His power than there is in a McDonald's Big Mac. My friends, it will leave you strong and powerful. When you fast, here are three things you need to do when you're fasting. When you fast, present yourself to the Lord as an act of worship. This is important for you to understand. Make fasting not a depravity to your life, but make it an act of worship. I'm worshiping you in this, and constantly tell him this. This is worship. Now, there's an immense difference between worship and praise. Worship is action. Praise is communicating the action. Do you understand that? And when we substitute praise for worship in a church, then we have a shallow, nothing existence with God. Worship is action. Worship is when you live a life of holiness. Worship is when you treat your neighbor as you should. And worship is when you trust God and live a life that you're supposed to for Him. That's worship. So when you fast, worship Him. Make it an act of worship the very first thing you do. If you'll follow this little thing that God showed me, it'll change you, I promise you. The second thing is this: approach the throne of God praising Him in your fast. The first thing is worship Him. That's an action word. The second one is praise. That's communicating to God. Praise Him. Open your mouth. Worship Him. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Give Him praise. Get alone with Him and tell Him, Father God, I love You. Do you love Jesus this morning? If you love Jesus, raise both hands up in the air just like this right now and say, Jesus, I love You. I was lost and undone. You redeemed me. You set me on the solid rock. You forgave me and gave me eternal life. And I love you for it, Lord. That is praise, my friends, right there. That's saying to him. That's communicating. So the first thing you do is you worship. That's the action. The second thing is you praise. That's the communication. And the third thing that you do is this, that you approach the throne of grace and mercy expecting a response from God. That's the third thing. The first thing is to worship. The second is to praise. And the third is to expect God to do something in your life he's never done before. If you'll do these three things, God will change your life. When you fast, present yourself to the Lord as an act of worship. Approach the throne of God praising him and expecting a response from God. This is the relational power between you and the Almighty God. Now, I got down to this next paragraph, and I might stop this, but I've got some really, really good stuff on two more pages here for tonight and next Sunday maybe. But I'd say tonight, I'm asking you to be here. We are going into this year with a power like never before. And I'm looking for Gideon's 300 that's willing to say, send me to the battle. Overwhelming odds, but there's two things I've got. I have fasted before God. I've got the torch of the Lord, and I've got the trumpet of God, and I'm going to praise him in the spirit, and I'm going to worship him in the spirit, and I'm going to praise him with a trumpet, and we're going to see the enemy defeated. Life change, and you're going to become useful in the kingdom of God. Listen to this. This is how Satan looks and understands about fasting and sacrifice. Fasting is sacrifice that breaks the chain of bondage. Listen to me. This is so important that you understand. Fasting is sacrifice that breaks the chain of bondage. It started with an old rugged cross and concluded with an empty tomb and the destruction of every power source of hell. Satan hopes you'll never learn about or put the sacrifice of fasting into practice in your life. But as a child of God, fasting is essential. You see, it began on that cross. But when he said it's finished and that tomb was emptied, let me tell you something. Every power source of hell was defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ and still is today. But is it in your life? If it is in your life, then you will institute what I'm saying this morning, and you'll see the power of the resurrection and the power of the cross in action in your life by fasting before God. Not just the fast of a day or a week or a month, but fasting that changes your life. Fasting's not about what you're giving up. It's about what you're saying to your God and eternal Father. Now listen to this. The sacrifice that breaks the chain of bondage. That's what fasting is. It started with no rugged cross and concludes with an empty tomb and the destruction of every power source of hell. Satan hopes that you'll never learn about it or put sacrifice of fasting into practice in your life. But for a child of God, it's essential. That's not exactly the paragraph I was looking for. I've got one more here we're going to go to. Listen to this. In the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, he, the I Am, the Son of God, God in the flesh, was driven to fast in preparation for this. This is what fasting does in the life of a believer. He was driven to fast in preparation to become the conduit of power that through his death would once for all free mankind, past, present, and future, from the deadly curse brought about by the trickery and deceit of hell's chief resident, the devil. He understood that he was going to start this battle in fasting. Fasting is what was the propellant that gave him the power to come against everything Satan would bring to him in his life. Now, here's the paragraph I was talking about. Fasting refines the power of God in your life. in its purest form. Last Sunday morning, there was only about 50 people here in that horrible snow that was going on. But I'm going to tell you 151 that was here. And that was the person of the Holy Ghost was here last Sunday morning. There was a move of God, a touch of God. And God showed me something in fasting that you need to know, that will change your life and your families when you realize this, when you present your life as worship and praise and expectation in surrender and obedience to God and say, it's not about me anymore, God. It's all about you. Listen to this. Fasting refines the power of God in your life to its purest form. Are you listening? If you are, say amen. Listen to this. This is why I want you to know it, because these are the things that will come against you as individuals that I want you to learn, and this is where I'm going to shut it off this morning and start back up tonight. Listen to this. Fasting refines the power of God in your life to its pure form. Power that comes from the sacrifice of fasting is refined, focused, and targets with, listen to this, and this is the word the Holy Spirit said this. When you fast, he said, I refine the power that's in you. Listen to this. I refine it, and I empower it, and I give you the ability to focus on targets with these two things, with rebuke and with victory over. I almost fell out of my chair when I realized that fasting is the foundation of holiness and righteousness and complete separation in my life from the world and absolute giving and obedience and sacrifice to Jesus. I realized the power that fasting has. It said this, it gives me the power to focus and target with rebuke and victory over it. Now, how many want to hear what the Holy Spirit told me? Absolutely, it'll give you power over. Raise your hand right now, because this is for this church and for everyone that's sitting to me this morning. I almost didn't write it down. I thought, God, surely not here, or surely not there, or we don't have these kinds of things. But God said, no, I'm not saying people are going to commit these things, but I'm saying they're being tempted by the devil, and you've got power to rebuke them and have victory over them in 2010 when you come before me sacrificing. Here's what it said. It refines the power to focus and target with rebuke and victory over the spirit of suicide. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me for this church and to tell you. Over the spirit of suicide, over the spirit of depression, over the spirit of despair, over the spirit of hopeless fear, and what was once thought to be unbreakable generational sins. Fasting breaks the chains of hell. Let me read the list to you again. This is what the Holy Spirit gave me, that we can target, focus, and have victory over the spirit of suicide, depression, despair, hopeless fear, and what was thought to be unbreakable generational sins. Fasting breaks the chain of hell. If you believe that, say amen this morning. I want you to stand to your feet right now, and we're going to continue this tonight. But at this point, I want you to be very reverent and listen. Don't disengage your mind right now. Keep your heart spiritually in tune with the word right now, because this is the part now this morning in this church that fasting for the last 7 days is going to do this morning.